前面开始讲课啊。
Now let's begin the lecture.
我们的修炼方法啊。
With regard to cultivation ways, as you know, besides the cultivation ways of the Buddhas and the Taoist schools, there are also other cultivation ways. Of course, strictly speaking, for cultivation ways, there are two major schools. One is the Buddhist school of cultivation, and the other is the Taoist school of cultivation.Many of the religions belong to the system of the Buddhist school, and many belong to the system of the Taoist school. However, they are not the religion of Buddhism, nor are they the religions of that school, but in terms of system, they do belong to the same system. There is also another way, called the Qimen cultivation way, or the unconventional cultivation way. Its cultivation methods are very distinctive. Oftentimes, in a particular aspect, it's extremely unique. Because it has one very distinctive aspect, so in this respect, it is...
比较厉害一些吧。
How should I say it? It's quite powerful.
但是呢
But among ordinary people, it's not understood.
不了解很少
And very rarely seen.
特别是宗教
Especially people in religions, Buddhists or Taoists, they often call these people an unorthodox school and a clumsy way, or 旁门左道 That's how the term an unorthodox school and a clumsy way came to be.Actually, an unorthodox school and a clumsy way doesn't mean an evil way. They call themselves the Qimen cultivation way. It's not Qimen sorcery, they're two completely different things. The Qimen cultivation ways that we're talking about are quite numerous. Why do we say that they aren't evil ways? Nowadays, the term an unorthodox school and a clumsy way is usually understood as an evil school and a crooked way, or 邪门歪道. Actually, in ancient times, it didn't have this meaning. It had a derogatory meaning, but it didn't have a negative meaning, because the cultivators of the Qimen cultivation way also have strict 心性, or heart and mind nature requirements for themselves. The majority of them cultivate according to the theory of Tai Chi,So they all enlighten to truth. Then, since they have strict xingxing requirements to control themselves, you can't say that they belong to an evil way, right? Because the criterion to judge good and bad is the cosmic characteristic. It's not for the Buddhas or the Taoist schools to judge. The Buddhas and the Taoist schools became orthodox righteous ways only because they conformed to the cosmic characteristic. Then if other cultivation ways also conform to the cosmic characteristic, they are also orthodox ways. It's just that their cultivation methods are distinctive and are not limited to what is presently within the Buddhas and the Taoist schools. Thus, oftentimes, their cultivation is somewhat more difficult. When choosing disciples, they have to select those very, very good disciples before they can transmit their teaching. Basically, in a very long period of history, they can pick only one person. That's the way it usually is. Then some may think, what will they become in the future? They don't belong to the Buddha, they don't belong to the Tao, they belong to... Because the Buddhas, as they explain in religions, every Tathagata has dominion over a heavenly kingdom, or what we call a unitary paradise. Every Tathagata has dominion over a paradise. So he can save people. He has such a paradise to which he can take the people that he saves. While those who belong to the Qimen cultivation ways don't have one. Actually, many great Taos also don't have such paradises. Oftentimes, they just stay alone in a place. Or they're like wandering immortals. They go everywhere.Oftentimes it's like that.
Uh,
Apart from the righteous ways, the truly righteous cultivation ways, since ancient times to the present day, there have also existed evil ways that are transmitted, because good and evil coexist in the universe. Even within the same living being, there's both good and evil. So some bad things have also appeared and have spread. The things that belong to the evil ways are not too high level, but in a certain dimension, within the range of their own dimension, they have a certain gong li, or energy potency. They have a certain level, because they're allowed to exist like that in their dimension. There are two main aspects of specifically practicing an evil way. One is doing it knowingly, the other is doing it unknowingly. Practicing an evil way knowingly means not doing good things, specializing in doing bad things, and their masters tell them to do so, to harm people. This kind, the things who teach this publicly, usually don't have gong or cultivation energy. They don't have gong, but they have karma. Their karma will be huge. When there is a lot of karma, it will also form a kind of energy. It has very high density, and it can restrict an ordinary person. It can have an effect on an ordinary person's body. So some people look for a qigong master to get their illnesses treated. I say it's quite dangerous. If you happen upon one of these and he emits things onto your body, at that time he can suppress it for you, but his stuff itself is karma or ye li. So when you return home, you'll hurt even worse than before, you'll feel even sicker than before. Oftentimes, these things harm people. To a certain extent, they can use this black matter to strengthen the supernormal powers of their own body, the ones that are innate to the human body, and within a very small level, within the level of ordinary people, they can have a certain impact. But those things, as their karma grows larger, their lifespans aren't very long. None of these people live for very long. There is also another kind, that is the kind that I just mentioned, the one related to the coexistence of good and evil is one kind, but it's not something that exists in the society of mankind. I'm saying that the regular ones who practice an evil way during the peak of Qigong, those bad things also came over here and they transmitted to some people and taught some people. They made a big mess. Now there are none left because they've all been cleaned out. Then there are also some people who practice an evil way unknowingly. What does it mean to practice an evil way unknowingly? It means they're practicing an evil way without being aware of it. You know, Qigong isn't like physical exercise where you can practice any way you want. Whatever you think about while doing physical exercise, it doesn't matter. But with cultivation things, if you carelessly bring in any bad mind intent, it could produce some bad things. For example, some people while practicing Qigong unknowingly think of something bad, and that will actually bring a lot of bad things into their Gong or cultivation energy. The stronger the mind intent is, the more it will bring in. So this belongs to practicing an evil way unknowingly. He's not practicing an evil way on purpose. He also wants to practice Qigong, maybe for the sake of healing illnesses, or maybe he wants to cultivate to high levels. But what he's actually practicing is an evil way. And the number of these kinds of people is quite considerable. Why do I say that? Think about it. Of the people who practice Gong in the parks or in other environments, how many people stress virtue or De? How many are thinking about doing good deeds for others and maintain a heart of kindness when they practice? How many such people are there? Some people even think of very bad things during practice. This is practicing an evil way unknowingly. If you tell such a person that he's practicing an evil way, he may not even admit it. He'll say, I was taught by such and such Qigong grandmaster. If that person is really a Qigong master of a righteous way, have you been acting in accordance with what he taught you about Xingxing? You have not. So even though you are practicing that system, you will not develop his Gong. What you're practicing are evil, muddy, black things, and they do not comprise a system. This is the way it usually is. Then there are some people, some Qigong masters, who do bad things, using low-level stuff, like drawing magic figures, chanting spells to command low-level spirits to do bad deeds and to harm people. There are many of these kinds of things. These also fall into the category of practicing an evil way. All these things are doing harm to themselves, harming others and harming themselves. But please note, everyone, that they have absolutely no effect on our practitioners. That bit of stuff that they emit cannot match even one revolution of the Falun. They have no effect whatsoever. Nor will my fashion or law body allow them or anyone else to do these things. But there is one point to be made. You may have run into some things when somebody did harm to you, or somebody did something bad to you physically, or you lost something. Then perhaps you had to repay something karmically. It's not allowed to really harm you, to harm the things that you yourself have developed through cultivation practice. No one is allowed to mess with or damage the things that are developed through Falun Dafa cultivation practice. They're not allowed to be lost, so don't worry about this. Thus, when you run into those troubles, maybe it's caused by karma. They're just temporary phenomena. But oftentimes, when you run into something hard to handle, why don't you cry out for the master? Why don't you call for the master? At that point, isn't it also a test of your faith and enlightenment? Next, let's talk about another question. That is the question of joint cultivation of man and woman. We do not have the joint cultivation of man and woman in our system. Nor do we allow cultivation like that. Joint cultivation of man and woman is being taught in society, and there are Qigong masters who do this publicly. Actually, if you ask me, if you teach it openly in the society, it doesn't matter if you are a Qigong master. I'd say it involves people's moral issues, and even involves legal issues. In society, it's not allowed to do this kind of thing. You know, the joint cultivation of man and woman comes from Tantrism. The one that really employs this thing is Tantrism, also known as the religion of Lamaism. But it's passed down like this within their religion. They do this within their religion to practice cultivation. And even within the religion, it's taught in secret, and not a lot of other people are allowed to know about it. Only when they're bringing up disciples in secret, when they're teaching on a high level, can they use these things. So this joint cultivation of man and woman, at the time when Tang Tantrism spread to China, it was precisely because it had joint cultivation of man and woman that it was suppressed and forced out of China. That's why it ceased to exist here in China. But in Tibet, where the moral values are quite different from those in China, it has continued. But even there, it's also transmitted within the inner religious circle and in secret. They cultivate in secret. But nowadays, some Qigong masters have also gotten into joint cultivation of man and woman. Even stranger than that, the Taoist school has also gotten into cultivation of man and woman. And it's not just something added in by something during modern times. It has been employed by the Taoist school since the Tang Dynasty. But we've said that never mind that the history is long. Junk has always existed, since ancient times to the present day. Just because it has been passed down since the Tang Dynasty doesn't mean it's good. Do you know the purpose of joint cultivation of man and woman? They want to attain a balance of yin and yang. Gather the yin to compensate the yang. Gather the yang to compensate the yin. Use mutual compensation and mutual cultivation to reach the goal of joint cultivation. But the theory of the Taoist school, be it in ancient China or elsewhere, the Taoist teachings have always taught yin and yang. They believe that in the human body there already exists yin and yang. Why would they go outside to gather it? Or seek outside for it? Some in the Taoist school consider the left side of the human body to be yang and the right side to be yin. This is the origin of the saying, left side male, right side female. Some in the Taoist school consider the upper part of the human body to be yang and the lower part to be yin. There are also those who consider the back to be yang and the front of the body to be yin. These statements are very well-founded and very scientific. So in all of our cultivation ways, we can develop a lot of intelligent entities and living beings from our own body. These intelligent entities we're talking about are not bad things. Every object has life in other dimensions. All of them are alive. Organic and inorganic substances are the same. The classification into organic and inorganic was made by today's human scientists. It's defined within the framework of the existing knowledge. So we have said that the Taoist school teaches that in one's own body there exists yin and yang. How can you gather it from outside? Isn't that messed up? The real joint cultivation of man and woman actually belongs only to Lamaism. Since ancient times in our country, Tibetan Tantrism has always been very controversial within the religion of Buddhism. The two have always opposed each other. At the very beginning, people all called it Lamaism. It was not called Buddhism. Later on, as the names got passed around, anyway, in modern time, people no longer know the controversies of ancient times. We've also examined it. And actually, their cultivation methods in their earliest origin do not come from mankind on planet Earth. It's a cultivation method from another planet. So their moral values are very different from those of our mankind. So here we have briefly told everyone about this situation. Some people have asked me, can we use joint cultivation of man and woman? We say that cultivation requires dedication to a single way, so you don't need to ask these kinds of questions anymore. Actually, joint cultivation of man and woman is not that simple. What you know is just something skin deep. Their secret cultivation practice was all passed down through word of mouth. There's nothing in writing. If you try practicing what's written in books, you will not be able to practice. Those things cannot be made public, so you won't be able to practice it. Real cultivation of man and woman is not something you can practice without obtaining the Fa, but you cannot casually mix things into a given cultivation system. That's how the issue stands. Then there are people who teach it in public. Think about it. An ordinary person doesn't necessarily want to practice cultivation. It's just that in recent years, Qigong was being popularized, so they started teaching joint cultivation of man and woman. I say that's corrupting people's moral standards, ruining... Basically, just messing around. Because their xingxing is not that high. In cultivation of Lamaism, they have to reach a very high level to be able to use it. These are things that can only be used on a very high level. But he wants to give them to ordinary people. They haven't even given up all sentiments and desires. How can they cultivate? If they use it, it will be evil. Isn't it getting out of hand? That's the issue. Next, let's talk about cultivation of both mind and body. All of these are terms from the cultivation community. In fact, when I was talking about going beyond the five elements, I had already mentioned cultivation of both mind and body. It means using high energy matter to replace the original physical cells of the human body. To replace the original flesh body. After your physical cells have been completely substantiated by high energy matter, it will gradually replace them. So they won't be easily subject to aging, because the high energy substances collected from other dimensions are not subject to the restrictions of the time field of our dimension. They're not within the range of the time field of our dimension. They're not subject to its restrictions, so they don't grow old. This is the fundamental teaching of cultivation of both mind and body. There are some cultivation ways that cannot cultivate mind and body, but they can also prolong the lifespan. Some people may think, how can they prolong life in other systems? If they don't cultivate the body, won't they die when their time comes? Isn't one's life predetermined? Yes, but there's another question, the question of transcending the three realms. Isn't that a question of breaking through levels? Even though his system doesn't cultivate the body, if in his cultivation his level made a breakthrough to beyond the three realms, then he's no longer subject to the limitations that exist within the three realms. So he too can prolong his life. But since he doesn't cultivate the body, even though he can live for a long time, he will get older and older, so old that he looks frightening.
是吧？他会出现这个问题。
That's what will happen to him. The greatest characteristic of systems of cultivation of both mind and body is that a practitioner looks young. The state of his physiology is that of a young person. Since time is limited, we've just talked about it briefly. Next, let's talk a bit about another issue, the issue of cultivation of speech.Some of our students really like to spread rumors, using them to show off that they know a lot. This has had some very bad effects. Also, there are some people who were quite talkative before. Among ordinary people, some think that if a person can talk, they're impressive, and if a person can't even speak very well, it's like they're easily taken advantage of.I say, that's an ordinary person's mentality among ordinary people. You know, in the past, in religions, there was a saying that opening the mouth is karma. Of course, they say opening the mouth is karma because they subdivide karma into good karma and bad karma. Actually, what they call good karma is what we call the white matter, or de. They didn't talk about the gong or cultivation energy part at all, so they just talked about it that way. And the bad karma is what we call karma, or ye li. Opening the mouth is karma.They believed in not creating karma. Why? Because once a person has a thought, if you want to say something, don't you need your thoughts to control your mouth to say it? Then this thought of yours, maybe as soon as the thought is formed, it's a small attachment. It's caused by small attachment. For example, you may say, I want to eat. That's because you're hungry, you want to eat. That's an attachment.An attachment to food, just illustrating this point. This is under the usual circumstances. Between people, as soon as you open your mouth, it's what you want to do, what you want to do, what you like to do. When you say it out loud, it's very likely that it was caused by an attachment. So they said just opening the mouth may be karma. So in the past, monks practiced abstention from speech.That is, keeping the mouth shut and saying nothing. I won't say anything for a year or for half a year. I'll practice self-imposed silence. A lot of people, a lot of monks in the past used to do this. They knew that because cultivators pay attention not to accumulating de, but to preserving de, or virtue, I'll preserve it so I don't lose it. Whereas accumulating de, because your good deeds cannot be judged by ordinary people's standards anymore, whether the things you did were really good or not must be judged by higher standards.Thus, since they cannot accurately tell these things, they must maintain the state of preserving de. As long as I don't lose de, it's good enough to ensure that no obstacles are created in my cultivation practice. So some people would practice self-imposed silence. In Buddhism, don't they talk about body, speech, mind?If someone wants to cultivate that, then he won't speak. Of course, in our system, the cultivation practice is done among ordinary people. If you practice cultivation in ordinary people's society, how can you function without speaking? Some people may say, I work as a broadcast announcer. How can I not speak? Of course, at work, we should do what we have to do and say what we have to say. If somebody's doing something bad and you as a supervisor don't take care of it and don't say anything, then good people will suffer too.To fail to support the righteous and to fail to punish evil, I say that's also unacceptable. So the point is how we should judge ourselves with the practitioner's standards and judge what should and should not be said. Of course, it wouldn't do if we didn't speak, because when you're promoting the righteous Fa, I say, isn't that doing something even better?So we do have to speak, but when we speak, we must be careful not to say things that will be detrimental to the unity of society. Don't sow discord and don't develop any attachments, because the words produced by those attachments could hurt people or even undermine the Dafa.I briefly discussed this question. That's all for that. Next, let's talk about another question. The question of why there is a field on statues of the Buddha. Why is there a field on a Buddha statue? Some people say it's an energy field left from the monks chanting scriptures to it. Some people say it's left from people worshipping the Buddha. I say that's not necessarily the case, because when they chant scriptures, the energy from their bodies is dispersed, and the same is true for worshipping the Buddha. So why is the field only present on the Buddha statue? What we have seen is as follows. In actuality, when a person has reached a very high level in cultivation, beyond the intriple world fa, when he has gained a certain fruit status or guo wei, he'll develop fa shen or law bodies. And those fa shen look the same as the person himself. But they're completely unlocked. Because a person who's doing things among ordinary people cannot be completely unlocked. If he were all unlocked, there would be no way to go about doing things. Some people ask me, teacher, do you know what I'm thinking? I'm not going to bother to sense what you're thinking. If I were to sense what you're thinking, what everyone's thinking, I wouldn't save you. Human thoughts are quite bad. You think that some thoughts of yours are really good, but when judged by my standard, they're really bad. That is to say, we cannot go around sensing such things. We even lock it up so as to not come into contact with such things. But fa shen or law bodies can do this. They can manifest great divine powers and they can do anything. Actually, the field on a Buddha statue is there because there is a fa shen there. If there is a fa shen there, the Buddha statue will have a field because he has energy. So when some people practice going in front of a Buddha statue, as soon as they stand there, they feel a force pushing them back, making them go backward. Actually, it's because of this field, because there's a fa shen on there. However, as the morality of mankind slides downwards, everything has changed in human society. Even the statues and sculptures of Buddhas have undergone changes. What changes is that on some Buddha statues there is no fa shen of an enlightened being whatsoever, nor have they undergone Kai Guang or Buddhist consecration or anything else to invite the fashion of an enlightened being. Now that we're speaking of Kai Guang, let me talk about why there's a fashion on there. In Buddhism, it's not as though once a Buddha statue has been made in a factory, it already has a fashion. It doesn't. It doesn't have anything. Only after the Buddha statue has been kaiguang or consecrated can there be a law body on it. Before it's consecrated, as I see it, it's just a work of art. Only after it has been consecrated can there be a fashion on it. How do they do the consecration or kaiguang for a Buddha statue? Within religions, they would hold a religious ceremony. A lot of monks would go into a hall in the temple and chant scriptures and devoutly invite the fashion of an enlightened being to come. That's what it takes to have this effect. Of course, nowadays monks no longer know what Kai Guang is. All they know is how to hold this kind of ceremony. Then they think it has been consecrated. But as for what the purpose of consecration is, it seems that some people cannot really explain it. Actually, it's simply to invite the fashion of an enlightened being. Since what they emanate are sincere, upright thoughts, and they're chanting the scriptures, they can invite the fashion or law body of an enlightened being. Then the statue has become the statue of his fashion. Since it has acquired a physical body in the world, he can help people do good deeds. People can sincerely repent in front of him and become good people. That is the main purpose. But these days, a problem has appeared. A lot of people don't consecrate their Buddha statues. They just enshrine them and begin burning incense to them. That's very dangerous. Many people's Buddha statues have gone through the ceremony of consecration, but those people had not attained the ability to perform consecration. Also, a lot of people get qigong masters to do consecration. I'm telling everyone, at present, there isn't a single qigong master who can do kai guang. A lot of qigong masters are fake, they're spirit possessions. So why do they have energy? Because those kinds of things latched onto it too. Those kinds of things got on it too. That's very dangerous. If you were to worship it as your master, that would be really bad. Some people go to the temple. Even in the temple, some Buddha statues have not been consecrated. They pray to Buddha statues in the temple or at home, and they beg for money. They worship worship them, and they find that their begging really brings them money, so they think it works pretty well. And now, next to such statues, there are signs that read, "All your wishes will be granted." And everybody thinks that's pretty good, saying, "Doesn't Buddha help us make money?" And yet you still say Buddha won't help us make a fortune? But that's not a Buddha. Usually those evil things with the sign saying all your wishes will be granted are foxes. They're mostly foxes. It's very frightening, but it doesn't help you for nothing. It has conditions and a price. If you practice Qigong, your body is relatively good. It'll get on your body and come to possess it. It doesn't have the ability to help you. Its powers are not that great. So what does it do? It can transform your karma. If you don't want to get sick, it'll make your relatives or friends get sick. If you don't get sick, let your younger brothers and sisters get it. Let your older brothers and sisters get it. You want to make money? Where does the money come from? It'll take money from someone else in your family and give it to you. It won't. Then there is some... The situation I just mentioned is very frightening. Then there is also another situation whereby there is... no spirit possession on many of the Buddha statues, but there is no enlightened being either. As they're worshipped, they gradually develop a Buddha, a Tao, or a god through this worship. You know, nowadays people worship this god, Guan Gong. They say Guan Gong is the god of money. Actually, he was produced through worship. People created him through worship. Guan Gong was not at all the god of money. He was produced through people's worshipping. It's rumored that Guan Gong helps someone make a fortune, so he enshrines one too. She enshrines one too, and so he becomes the god of money. What's this all about? Because there isn't anything on that Buddha statue or sculpture. Human thinking, and scientists have now discovered, is matter. And Qigong is now said that human thinking is energy, it's materially existing. When an ordinary person's thinking emanates, it's ephemeral, and it disperses very shortly after it emanates. But if he concentrates his mind intent on emanating it towards something, it'll stay for a very long time. If a Buddha statue hasn't been consecrated or kai guang, and they go to worship it, the following problem can occur. The first person that comes to worship is the most crucial. Think, everyone, how many people nowadays pray to Buddha saying, "I want to cultivate and gain the right fruit, or zheng guo. I beg you, give me strength, give me your blessing, I must gain the right fruit." How many people, including monks, think like that when they pray to a Buddha? A lot of people beg, "Help me make a fortune, help somebody in my family avoid a disaster." There are even some monks who still think about the people in their family. The six worldly roots have not been severed. Say somebody wants to make money, everyone think about it. As soon as he starts to worship, it'll be terrible. Why? Because from his brain, from the mind intent concentrated in it, there emanates a structure of the brain that wants to gain money. It's a complete structure of the brain, but it thinks about money, and it's sent outward towards the Buddha's image. In other dimensions, objects can become large or small. They're not like our bodies, which are fixed in size. Actually, human bodies are not fixed in size either. You yourself just don't know it. If this universe shrinks and becomes very small, all the objects in the universe also become correspondingly smaller. Even the magnification of a magnifying glass becomes smaller, so you won't feel that it has shrunk. When the universe becomes larger, all the objects in it also become correspondingly larger, so you won't feel that the universe has become larger. Thus, it's not completely fixed. So those things can change in size in other dimensions. They get onto the head of the Buddha statue, so the Buddha statue now has a mind. But this mind is after money. Then upon the first person, other people will come to worship. He himself will also come to worship often, and as time goes on, this worshipping will create a body for it. Because people's bodies, ordinary people's bodies, also have an aura. They too have a bit of very weak energy. Even if a Qigong practitioner or a cultivator goes there to worship, he will add energy to it, and it will become bigger and bigger until it's complete. So it forms a tangible body that is identical to the Buddha statue. If this Buddha statue is that of Bodhisattva Guanyin, your worship will have produced the fake Bodhisattva Guanyin. If this Buddha statue is that of Buddha Amitabha, your worshiping will have produced the fake Buddha Amitabha. That's how dangerous it is. But it's not a manifestation of the real Buddha Amitabha, and it's not a real fashion of Bodhisattva Guanyin. It was made through your own worship. Although it looks like a Buddha or Bodhisattva, its brain is after money. Because it's a living being produced at a low level with low energy. But it's not lost in delusion like ordinary people. So it can see a few principles that cannot be seen amidst ordinary people. As such, it doesn't dare to casually hurt people. So what does it do? People very devoutly believe in it as a bodhisattva, so it does some good deeds. But it doesn't do these good things for free. Because it was created on a low level, it doesn't have the nature of a Buddha. So people go to pray to it, please bless me, bless my family so that my child will recover from illness. Fine, I'll bless you so that he'll recover, but you have to throw money in my box. If you throw money in, the child will recover. If you don't throw any in, then he won't get better. If you throw in more money, he'll recover more quickly. It will do that sort of thing. Somebody prays, please help me make a fortune. I want to get rich so I can enjoy the good life. All right? You want to make money? All right? So you're practicing qigong. You've got some dan or an energy cluster there, and I don't. I'll take the dan. So it takes them. I can't just help you for nothing. I'll give you some money. So you have to give me something too. Fair exchange, no loss, no gain. Or give me some of your gong. Although gong can't be added on, it can transform it into other things, into some usable energy. And then it will let you get money. How? For example, it'll have you fall down and then find a wallet. Or you'll get a bigger bonus at work. Anyway, somehow you'll get some money. It will do that sort of thing. And then there is the greatest danger with these things. If you're a lay Buddhist, if you're a monk or a Taoist priest, if you worship it, that will lead to grave consequences. When you take it as your master, it'll come to take care of you and control you. When you're devout towards it, it'll take care of you. It'll arrange how you practice gong. But no matter how you practice, you will never be as high as it is. It's not very high to begin with. It'll arrange how you practice. But no matter how you cultivate, how you take it as your master, how you sincerely want to do good and cultivate your heart, nobody up there will take you. Nobody will want you. Every school has its own cultivation method, a method of saving people. You don't belong to any school, so nobody wants you. And moreover, you have been developed in cultivation by this low-level spirit. So what happens after you die? Some people have seen it. There's a Buddha who comes to the temple leading a group of monks. One group comes today, another group comes tomorrow. Some see that they're often in the temple. Who are they? They're just this group. After a man has died, or passed away, as they say, he himself thinks that he seems to have attained the Tao, but in actuality, he's gone over to where it is. It controls them, leading them around in groups. This has come to be because as mankind has developed to the present day, as human morality degenerates, everything else degenerates, caused by people's attachments. All of it is caused by their own karma. Wasn't Sakyamuni right when he called this era the Dharma ending period? It's hard for the monks to save themselves, let it alone save others. It really is like this. It's extremely complicated. The issue I just talked about could not be left unspoken because a lot of people will worship Buddha's images and do other related things, so this issue has to be discussed. Next, let's talk about another issue in the cultivation community. Especially in Qigong, and also in some small worldly ways of the Taoist school. Just now I talked about those things developed through people's worship. Those are also considered earthly Buddhas and earthly Taos. Earthly Buddhas and earthly Taos. Some of them have also come here among ordinary people. They think they're pretty good. Actually, they're earthly Buddhas and earthly Taos without food status or attainment status. They even have names, such and such Buddha. They may even have names, but actually they're nobodies. Next, we'll discuss something called the subject of sorcery treatment, or 祝由科. It's something used in the small worldly ways of the Buddhist and Taoist schools. You know, there's something called the small worldly ways of the Taoist school. What small worldly ways? They have the attire of the Taoist masters, but what they do is draw magic figures, chant spells, treat illnesses, or do fortune telling, or feng shui, or geomancy. They cannot practice cultivation, and they cannot succeed in cultivation. Their principles are the lowest level things of the Taoist school, the lowest things. They themselves have no energy, but they command some low-level spirits to come and help them do things. So they draw magic figures. That's what drawing magic figures is for. They also chant spells and such. They do that sort of thing. The subject of sorcery treatment is also this kind of thing. But it can also treat illnesses for ordinary people. Regardless of what was actually emitted onto his body, as far as an ordinary person is concerned, the pain has indeed been relieved temporarily, so this is considered treating illnesses. There are a lot of methods for treating illnesses in our country. In China, in ancient times, there were many methods of illness treatment, not only the techniques that are known now in Chinese medicine. Nowadays, a lot of things have been organized under the category of Chinese medicine. For example, things like acupressure, massage, fracture setting, herbal medicine, massage, and acupuncture. Then there is also treating illness through qigong, including the subject of sorcery treatment. When they were organized, they were classified into subjects. Among the methods of illness treatment in ancient China, this subject of sorcery treatment was thought to be the 13th subject, so its complete name is sorcery treatment, the 13th subject. Its methods of treatment are mostly methods like chanting spells, this type of thing, burning paper, burning incense, drawing magic figures and such. Some years ago, while Qigong was being popularized, quite a few people were doing these things. Cultivators of Dafa are absolutely forbidden to use these things. We don't invite those bad things. True cultivation practice does not allow the use of such things. Usually, their methods of treatment are quite unique. I often give the following example. Say a person got a boil on his face. How would they treat that? They would take a brush, dip it in cinnabar, that is that red pigment, draw a circle on the ground, draw a cross inside the circle, and tell you to stand in the center of the cross facing east. They're Taoists, so they need to face east. At the low-level Tao, there is a saying, Tao is in the east and Buddha is in the west. Actually, that's not the case. This is just a low-level Tao saying. So they draw circles on the person's face, and at the same time, they chant spells. They go on chanting and chanting. Finally, they touch the boil with the tip of the brush and say, okay, it's healed. You touch it. It doesn't hurt as much as before, and it seems to have become smaller. Which is to say, it can have a certain healing effect. Or, for example, suppose you say, my arm hurts, it doesn't feel well. He says, I'll have your illness come out from this hegu acupoint. How will it come out? I'll blow a mouthful of air into this hegu acupoint of yours. Stretch out your arms. First he chants spells. He keeps chanting, and then he blows a mouthful of air into this hegu acupoint, and you feel the air go through your arms. It's pretty good. It doesn't hurt as much. So those methods can have a certain effectiveness on such minor illnesses. But why did I just say you cannot use it? People don't know how it works, and they don't really care. They got some relief, and that's good enough for them. But not for practitioners. We have to keep our bodies pure and constantly ascend to higher levels, so we cannot invite these things. Actually, all of these work by using low-level spirits and such messed up things to treat illnesses. This is called the subject of sorcery treatment. We've mentioned it to all of you because when you cultivate, there are a lot of these kinds of things. Speaking of this, let me digress and mention something else. There are dancing shamans in North China, and in the South, there are witches and wizards and other such things. None of them fall within the category of qigong, because in true cultivation practice, you have to rely on yourself to cultivate your own things, attain your own things. But they don't. All they do is invite some bad things. They chant some spells to invite them. That's all they do. Because those things also have energy. When they come, he doesn't have energy, but those bad things that he invited have energy. That's why he can treat illnesses. Otherwise, like spirit possession, why do people incur spirit possession? Because the possessing spirit can also treat illnesses. That possessing thing, that animal, also has supernormal powers, so it deceives people. Let's briefly discuss another question. When students attend our Falun Gong seminars, or when holding any other Falun Gong activities, don't force critically ill people to attend our seminars. Because they'll come entirely for their illness. Just now somebody wrote a note and was still tacitly asking me to treat his illnesses. He was saying, "Teacher, during several previous classes, you dissolved my karma for me, but now I still have discomfort in such and such place. It's all written between the lines. Even if you just wrote one stroke, I wouldn't know what you were up to. It means you aren't able to let go of these things. So if a critically ill person can't let go, then his life is in danger at every moment because nobody's taking care of him. Here, under the effect of the energy field, it may be even more unbearable for him, so it's very dangerous. Everyone be sure to take note of this. If something happens to him, he will cause us to unnecessarily suffer great damage. Protecting the reputation of Falun Gong is the duty of every Falun Gong disciple, because you too are a member of Falun Gong cultivation practice. And also, don't drag people here to deal with their spirit possession, saying, "Master Li can deal with spirit possessions, only he can fix it, go ask him." Dragging people over from 1,000 miles away and have them ask me to do it. I'm not here to resolve these problems for you. All those things of yours have a karmic reason behind them. I cannot freely do this for you. Here we only take care of cultivators. Some people say, "Well, take it off me and then I'll cultivate." There are no preconditions for cultivation. You have to cultivate unconditionally. Having any preconditions is unacceptable. Then there are also some people, some students. If others don't want to enroll in the seminar, don't drag them here. Let's make a disclaimer. If anybody who is critically ill doesn't feel well in our class, then go to the hospital immediately. We don't treat anyone's illnesses here using our hands. We are conducting a seminar here. We only teach the Fa. Since time is limited, that's all I'll say. Next, shortly we'll learn the third exercise. So let me tell you about the third exercise, and then we'll take a break. The third exercise is called Penetrating the Two Extremes. What does it mean? You know, some systems teach gathering the qi of the celestial yang and gathering the qi of the earthly yin. In our system, we take the principle of cosmic evolution, the cosmic characteristic of zhen shan ren, to directly serve as a guide to our practice. We practice such an enormous thing. So what celestial yang and earthly yin? That scope is simply too small. Our penetrating the two extremes means that we reach the two extremes of the universe and use the energy between the two cosmic extremes to penetrate through our body. That's what it means. But how big is this universe? If viewed with human thinking, with human notions, it's simply inconceivable. Even if you sat there and thought for a day, you wouldn't get to the end of just how big it is. So true cultivation is non-action. There are no mind intent activities, none at all. We don't talk about mind intent. Maybe in the book you wrote to keep your consciousness lightly on the two palms. It means that when you do the movements, you should be aware of what you're doing. Otherwise, if you don't even know what your hands are doing, it would be a mess. But there are no activities of mind intent. So when you do the movements of penetrating the two extremes, All you have to do is perform the movements. While the mechanisms I plant in you can have this kind of effect. In an instant, they reach very, very far. And in an instant, they'll bring the energy back. They travel in a very fast dimension. So they're not restricted by this very slow dimension. It goes in an instant and comes in an instant. All you have to do is perform the movements, and this gong, its mechanism, will itself have this effect. As your hands are moving, you may detect a kind of feeling. What feeling? A kind of hands floating. That is to say, there exists a kind of mechanism, a moving energy mechanism. When you want to do this exercise, this energy mechanism will begin to function. Your hand will float up naturally, automatically following this energy mechanism. A person who has just begun to practice has to be very sensitive in order to detect it, but after practicing for a time, he'll be able to feel it. Everyone will be able to feel it. His hands just float back and forth by themselves, floating up and down, gliding along. So even if your movements aren't precise, it doesn't matter. Gradually, the mechanisms will correct you. However, in the beginning, we should try our best to do it correctly. Don't bring the mechanisms astray as well, because why do we do the movements and practice the gong? Since we can penetrate to the two extremes, does that mean we don't have to do the movements? No, it doesn't. The movements of our exercises also differ from the strengthening of divine powers and strengthening of supernormal powers of all other systems in another respect. All of our magic things are also evolved automatically. Then our movements are just used to strengthen your energy mechanisms, strengthen those mechanisms of yours. When the mechanisms have formed, although you haven't done the penetration of two extremes, each and every moment, the penetration of two extremes is taking place. That mechanism is operating. So when you're doing it, you're just substantiating it, strengthening it, because the hands emit energy. The key points for this exercise are the same as for the previous exercises. The feet are shoulder-width apart, stand naturally. There are no stretching movements. It's completely the same posture as when holding the wheel. It's relaxed. Only the arms are moving. The legs don't move. The body is kept relaxed. Relaxed but not slouched. The tongue is against the hard palate, leaving a gap with the teeth, and your lips are gently closed. When practicing all five exercises, the eyes are closed. They're practiced with the eyes closed. Of course, when you're learning, don't close your eyes, otherwise you won't be able to see. The pace of your hand movements must be the same as when we teach it. The pace that is taught is about the same as the rate on my videotape. Of course, to say it has to be absolutely accurate, to not even differ by 0.0 whatever seconds, we don't emphasize. That's not important in and of itself. This Fa Lun. This Fa Lun of ours is like this. Probably everyone has the lecture materials in their hands. On the cover of our book is a Fa Lun picture of this shape. This Fa Lun, its structure is extremely complex. On the surface, it doesn't look particularly complex. We've just made it into a kind of... We've used a few symbols as a kind of emblem, as our Fa Lun emblem. In actuality, it is an extremely complex thing. It is highly complex, and at each level, it has different structures. Because this Falun Gong of ours is practiced according to the principles of the evolution of the universe, its structure is also designed according to this kind of form of the universe. But on the surface, it's very simple. For example, this entire Falun, the entire thing is revolving. It's in motion. It's moving as a whole, revolving. The center of this Fa Lun is spinning, which is to say, the center, this red part, is spinning. The Tai Chis, the four Tai Chis, are also spinning. The four swastikas are the same. The four of them are evenly spaced. During the time of the Tang Dynasty, they called it the Wanzi symbol, or the Chinese character for 10,000. Before, it was called auspicious good fortune. Why was that? Because the universe is in motion. The universe has four sides, or eight directions. Eight directions plus the above and below of the center constitutes the ten-directional world. This is the view of the universe of the Buddha school, its understanding of the universe. Which is to say, in this universe, in the ten-directional world, all the galaxies in 10 directions are in motion, rotating. That's the way it is. Thus, those of us who have supernormal powers can see that it really is in motion. The center represents this Milky Way galaxy of ours. It has this kind of meaning. So it, too, is in motion and is also rotating. It's this kind of situation with everything moving, everything revolving. Then since we are of the Buddha school, why is there in here the Taoist school Tai Chi? Why is there also the Tai Chi? Because as everyone knows, this Fa we are promulgating today is already very broad. It is promulgated based on the universe's highest Buddha principles of Zhen, Shan, Yun, truth, benevolence, forbearance. Everyone, think about it. The universe's highest characteristic, even the Taoist school doesn't go beyond Zhen, Shan, Yun, and the Buddhist school is also within Zhen, Shan, Yun. What we are talking about now is such a huge Tao, such a huge Fa of the universe. So without the Taoist school, it cannot compose a complete universe. Because in this universe, it's just the two main schools of the Buddha and the Tao. The two main schools of the Buddha and the Tao. However, some people may not believe it, saying, isn't there still this Jesus Christ and also China's Confucianism? Let me tell you, all of these kinds of orthodox religions are. Confucianism is considered, when classified at high levels, it belongs within the scope of the Taoist system. In the West, there are some religions, some orthodox religions, that when classified at a high level, belong within the range of the Buddha system. When at a very high level, it is a really abstruse thing. Thus, there truly are only these two major schools. Then why are there still two different kinds of Tai Chi, with this upper part red, lower part black, and this upper part red, lower part blue? Because the great Tao cultivation is this kind, and the primordial Tai Chi is this kind, with upper part red, lower part blue. This upper part red, lower part black kind belongs to this kind of Tao that we recognize today, this kind of Tao that the people are familiar with, the Taos that the venerable divinity of the origin overseas have this kind of form. In actuality, the Taoist school in the past, during remote antiquity, never formed religions. Historically, it was always cultivated in a solitary manner, cultivating alone. Only in recent history has this issue appeared. The Taoist religion appeared. In actuality, it is already a kind of modified religion. The color of this Fa Luan, this background color, changes. Apart from these symbols, this background color, the Fa Luan's background color, will change color. Why have we said it using these kinds of colors and use it as an emblem? Because this color is somewhat brighter and it looks good. So we have made it into an emblem. In actuality, this background color changes colors. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, purple, colored, colorless. It will change. Thus, there are many students who say, teacher, the colors of the Fa Luan that I saw were not like this. It was white. It had no color. Or it was red, indigo, purple. Right. What you saw was all correct. In the universe, within the universal dimensions, this kind of vast matter changes color. It just has these kinds of changes in color. It has various colors, various kinds of material color. Some people may still have a question. That is, people who don't have very much knowledge of religions may then think, how come this thing in the center looks like Hitler's thing to me? Everyone knows that our mankind had already widely recognized this symbol from the time of Sakyamuni. Prior to Sakyamuni, in the West, it had also been used in many religions. This symbol, I have told everyone, is in fact the symbol of the Buddha. Only those who reach the level of Buddha have it. Those who are not at the level of Buddha do not have it. Only those great bodhisattvas, some great bodhisattvas have already surpassed Buddhas, have already attained the level of Buddha, and that's why they also have it. Small bodhisattvas don't have them, nor do arhats. Only Buddhas carry the sign of symbol. If they surpass the level of Tathagata, they have two of these kinds of symbols on the front chest. The more levels they surpass, the more of these symbols they will have. Human beings in this current period of human civilization had widely recognized it 2,500 years ago. And Hitler and World War II, that Hitler only appeared how many years ago? Not more than a few decades, right? He plagiarized this thing. Some people say, if this angle were bent in this direction, then that would be Hitler's. I say, not necessarily, because it's something that revolves, it rotates. That's the way it is. Because you're looking at a piece of paper, we're looking using our flesh eyes, but it still has its forms existing in many, many dimensions. Thus, one cannot use how thick its arrangement is to evaluate it. The things that reflect from inside it are really abstruse. A lot of students have seen a lot, really a lot. I'd say that what you saw was all real. All right? Next, we will begin to learn the exercises.